O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I was just telling Pastor Luke, there's some traditions and things that are customary. I learned since I got here that you stand up for a mighty fortress, and now we stood up, you got your blood pumping, ready to go to hear about our real present God. I'm excited as I see these younger brothers and sisters in Christ, because I've had a tie-dye shirt. It didn't say hashtag ASAP, always stop and pray, but it was a tie-dye shirt that I wore to at least two national youth gatherings, because I've been to four national youth gatherings. Now, four of you are disqualified from answering this, because you were here last night. Actually, five. Six. Mrs. McCartney also. Anybody guess the first time I went to a national youth gathering? Matthew Holm, you're disqualified. You cannot guess. Anybody guess the first? Now, I'll give you a hint. They're every 3 years, so it has to be a multiple of three. So if you give an answer like 26, you're out. In eighth grade. That's not a year. That's not even a multiple of three. That's not even a multiple of three. It's not. Well, you got to pick a year. The X-Man here is trying to give you some hints. Okay. 1993? Okay, let's go. This is 2019. How many years ago was 1993? Because you did the same thing again. It's 26 years ago. We're getting a math lesson. Just forget about this. Okay, I'll tell you. You're close. 1995. 24 years ago. Because that's 8 times 3. Anyway. This is really going off the rails already. So, I was between my junior and senior years in high school, Concordia Lutheran High School, Fort Wayne, Indiana. I'm not going to have you guess, because you'll probably tell me some place that's not even in North America, Andrew. It was in San Antonio. Okay, so I went to San Antonio. The theme was not real present God. The theme was the River of Light. Because there's a river in San Antonio, the whatever river it is. The River Walk, I don't know what it is. San Antonio River, Mr. Is that what it is? The San Antonio River. Yeah. So, and the theme was River of Light, and the theme verse, I found this out yesterday because I looked it up online. I didn't remember because it was 24 years ago. The theme was Psalm 46, verse 4. Somebody read it this morning right here. Psalm 46, verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. But the theme verse for this year, anybody know what the theme verse was? I hope you do, because you just went. Or theme chapter? Psalm 46. Yeah, we sang A Mighty Fortress. Psalm 46, verse 1, the Lord is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Real, present God. And then it says in verse 2, therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. We will not fear. It's fitting then, and this happens often, that we have assigned readings for every Sunday, that the gospel lesson is from Luke chapter 12, and Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. And he talks about the ravens, and they're not worried about things, so you don't worry about things. And then he says, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? But I'll tell you, all of us have anxiety. Now, that's a clinical term, and you say, no, I'm not an anxious person. But all of us have things that, Peyton talked about it, stress us out to one degree or another. Sometimes maybe they're appropriate stressors, and sometimes they're completely irrational. Maybe you are stressed out. I knew a lady in my previous congregation, and maybe some of you have this. Don't raise your hand if you do. She was afraid. I could hardly believe it. She's afraid that the moon is going to fall on the earth. Apparently that's a real fear. Lunaphobia or something. I don't know. Maybe somebody. That's probably not a real rational fear, but I guess it's possible. But there are all kinds of things that stress us. All of us have anxiety. We may not call it that. But we suffer from things that maybe make us nervous. We say, you know, I'm really concerned, or I'm worried about this or that. Things that upset us. Speaking of which, I think someone else is going to share with you here and that is Miss Paige Patricia Milkey, who will be a, is, not will be, we've already started the school year. Yeah, sophomore at Lutheran High School. Paige, tell us about your experience at the National Youth Gathering.
I had no idea the amount of impact the gathering would have on me. My faith grew so much in the course of a week, I couldn't believe it. Walking into the Mass event and seeing everyone else around you who are going through some of the same struggles and who are growing in their faith too is pretty amazing. There are many times I would have to just stop and listen, just take in the full experience of, in the presence of God. There were many stories that were very impactful, that really spoke to me and you could tell spoke to everyone. One girl's story is about how she was bullied from grade school all the way through high school. She found it really difficult to make friends, and it was hard on her. When she finally turned to her faith, things slowly started going well for her. I know that I might not always be accepted by the people around me, but I know that I'll always be accepted through Christ. After that week, my life has been changed. I feel closer to Christ. I also feel like my faith has grown since that week. Thank you for a life-changing experience I'll never forget.
Thank you, Paige. So one of the things, you mentioned was about that you're there with other people who are going through struggles, riding the struggle bus. Is that the term? Riding the struggle bus? You just took the struggle bus back to your seat? No, you did. Thank you. Good job. So the struggles that we have in life, and those are a result of sin, because the truth is it's not just other people who mess our lives up. As much as it would be nice to blame them, and I am, ask the church staff, I like to assign blame. But you know, where a lot of times the finger's pointing back at me. Because the truth is, I cause a lot of my own problems. The struggles, the anxiety, the stress, the hurt comes because I'm a sinner. Now we are talking about the real present God, the God who is has created all things, God the Father, God the Son, the Redeemer who has saved us, God the Holy Spirit who calls us and keeps us in the faith. That's called the Holy, what is that called? I got a lot of people in the hot seat. The Holy what? Well, the Holy Spirit is the one that keeps us, but God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is called the Holy Trinity, that's right, three again, man. Yeah, very good, yeah. Holy Trinity. But there is something, as Lutheran Christians, that maybe you don't call it this, but we learn that there are things that conspire against what God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have done, are doing, and will do, and that's called the unholy Trinity. And those things are sin and death. You know the last one. Not taxes. Those are the three things that are certain. Well, the power of the devil, sin, death, and the power of the devil. And think about it in this way. I heard this another pastor recently describe it in this way. So sin is really referencing our past. Because sin, and we take account of our sin, it is things that we've done or that have happened to us, and maybe it's guilt, maybe it is shame, maybe it is anger or frustration or doubt, things that hang over us about our past. That's the sin. When we talk about death, has anyone here died yet? So let's rule out the past tense in a literal sense. You haven't. Andrew, we rule out past. I'm picking on you now. Okay, yeah. So when is death? You're going to put that, it's not in the past. When are you going to put it? In the future, right? So death talks about things that are in the future and things that cause anxiety, because we can certainly worry about all the things that could happen to us or might happen to us. So we've got past, we've got future, and then we've got the power of the devil, which really are things that are happening in the present. Because Satan, and we just sang about this because we stood and we were like soldiers singing A Mighty Fortress, and we said the old evil foe, Satan, he wants to devour us. He hates the things that God loves, and God loves you. How do you know that? Because he sent his son Jesus for you, for sinners. See, in the present, Satan wants to separate us from God and from one another. Wants us to not have unity, no hope, no peace, no future, and forget about the past, just wants it to be over. But it's not. And so God breaks in again and again and again and says, this is who I am, this is who I was, this is who I will be, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's It's true that in Jesus, our Savior, he's our brother, in that sense. He's our good shepherd. In him, we have a family, because he takes us to God the Father. That's what Jesus says at the end of our gospel lesson today, or toward the end. He says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that don't grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart be also," or "there will your heart be also." That in Jesus, our brother and Savior, he takes us to God the Father and gives us a family. And families are people who bear with one another and love one another, and the way that the Christian family stays together is only through Jesus. Well, speaking of families, I've got a younger brother in the faith that I just met last night, Xavier. I don't know your middle name. Hardiman. What is it? O'Neill. Xavier O'Neill. Now I got that. Hardiman. Xavier, tell us more about your story.
All right. Like yesterday, there was only about like 25 people in here, and I said it was a lot different than practicing in the shower.
And it was better than in the shower, right?
Yeah.
Now it's going to be even better, yeah.
Yeah, I was less nervous. But, okay, my name is Xavier Hardiman, and I am a senior at Lutheran High School. Many of you guys do not know me, and that's because I attended Calvary for middle school. To be honest, I did not know what I was going to get out of NYG. In my eyes, I was just going to hang out with friends and have a fun time. But God had different plans for me. He opened my eyes, and I had a new view on everything in life. I learned that God is real, I learned that God is present, and I learned that God is God. Even though I got to see a bunch of amazing speakers and got to participate in a bunch of games, small groups was my favorite part overall, which we did every night after the mass event. Mrs. Melky made our group, and it was like a match made in heaven. It was the best group ever. I don't know if it was coincidence or not, but God obviously put us all together. But we also had the blessing of Mr. Melky, who was our small group leader, you can say. He was amazing. No words can describe what he did to us. But we created a new bond with one another, and now we can see each other in a new way. Mr. Melky encouraged us to open up each night, whether it was about our favorite part of the day or something he needs to pray about over us. Like I said in the beginning, I'm from Calvary, and many of my friends wanted me to go with Calvary, but God led me to go with this amazing group. This is an experience I'll never forget. Thank you.
Thank you, Xavier. So whether you're from Calvary or not, doesn't matter. In this sense, you are our brother in Christ. We're part of a family held together in Jesus. We are children of the Heavenly Father. And as you said, you learn that God is real, that God is present, that God is God. And here's the thing, Xavier, that Xavier, X-Man, God is God, and you and I are not God. It seems like a pretty simple statement, but what that means is that God is the one who doesn't change. He is some of the early philosophers would say, the unmoved mover, because the real present God does not change. But you and I are changing moment to moment. You changed what you said from last night. I'm changed. I mean, every day I lose a little bit more hair, I get more gray hair. And I'm only talking about my hair, and I'm getting wrinkles, I'm getting older. I hope in some areas I'm changing for the better, but in some areas maybe I'm changing for the worse. But you know who doesn't change is God. God who is the God who was, who is, who evermore shall be, past, present, and future. But the world around us, not only are we changing, but the world around us changes at light speed. I mean, if you had your phone out, nobody does, right? Even though you're digital natives, and you were updating your, I would say Twitter feed, but that's so passe, your Instagram feed. Did they call it the gram? Is that what we called it? I don't know, whatever. Constantly changing, right? And so one of the wonderful hymns, and we're going to sing it at the end of the service today, "Abide With Me." It says, "Change and decay in all around I see, including myself." But then cries out to God, "O thou who changest not, abide with me." God is the one who doesn't change. We live in a world that is constantly changing, which can't even agree on the definition of what a... Forget about even deciding on what a man is or a woman is. In some sense, what even a human being is. If we have transhumanism or tying in with robots, whatever, Lord, have mercy. But God, the real present God, doesn't change and holds on to us people who are changing. Change and decay and all around I see because my cells are decaying rapidly. And unless Jesus comes back first, eventually my cells are going to decay so much that I will die. But because of Christ, you and I have life. On that positive note, Matthew, what's up, home? Come and share with us. Matthew graduated from Lutheran High School and is a student at UIndy, or will be.
NYG for me was an unknown. I didn't know what to expect or what to find, but I went with an open mind, open to God and open to change. The first day for me was a blur. Being in the same building as 30,000 other fellow Christians is certainly nothing more than something I won't easily forget. Hearing the shouts of 30,000 people triumphantly chanting, "Real present God," was nothing short of empowering. But for me, it wasn't the shouts, it wasn't the songs, and it wasn't the big group things. It was what God was doing with me one-on-one. The subtle answers I was given through snippets of sessions we had during the day. A certain sentence or song that stuck with me from a speaker, or the things that made me think and write. Day two for me was the biggest day. You could call it a revelation. I was sitting there in the Mass Event Plus at like 10:30 or 11 at night, and a certain song was playing, and it just hit me right. And before I knew it, I was writing, and I understood why I was there. And I felt what was missing became clear to me. So I'm going to read a little bit of what I wrote on that night. No matter how far on the outside you may feel, at an event like this, there is no outside. God is always the barrier holding on to each and every one of us. You never let go. I will never let go. And I never let go, and I never will. Safety is a lucid dream trapped in the minds of those who haven't really seen reality. Trust in a God who brings your safety into fruition. It doesn't have to be a dream. Take that leap of faith. Everyone is introspective in their own ways, their own style. Passive and subtle, strong and straightforward, and many in between. Embrace the God who gave you that consciousness. I still feel as though I'm wrestling with myself, getting back into the groove with God. I never gave him up. I've been blind to my true potential. I must embrace it, the reckless love of God. There are so many days I have had so much to write, but never took the time. A facade to my true emotions. What is holding me back in these times? I must explore myself as a person and as a Christian. The two paths are splitting. It has only been two nights, but I can't comment on all the subtle messages I am being fed. God speaks. He's calling. He's instructing. I must follow. Lord, you know my weakness. You know my struggles. You know me above it all. I will never forget the first time I truly felt you, the real present God. Thank you. I would highly recommend going to an event like this. You never know what you'll find, but I can guarantee it will put you on the right track. It did for me. You just have to be open to it.
Matthew, thank you. Thank you for your willingness to share with us. And there's a vulnerability and openness to share amongst this group, amongst the family, the thoughts that are swirling and the things, and to rejoice in the way that God is working in you, the God who doesn't change. And yet, you said you went into the youth gathering open to change because you and I, we change, sometimes for the good, sometimes not, but God doesn't change. That being said, our feelings change. Sounds like you had great feelings. And coming back, and the thing that I've experienced in going to four national youth gatherings is it's kind of a mountaintop. And then you got the re-entry. You've re-entered for a couple weeks now. It won't be exactly the same. Maybe you've changed for the good, maybe not. Maybe, though, you'll wrestle with, God, are you still here? Because it, as awesome as it is gathering here, and it is, there aren't 21,000 of us, but God is here. God is here every week, whether you feel it or not. And yet, there are those moments still, though hopefully you have some time to be in the silence and thinking. That's why this is called a sanctuary. But alone in your car, alone in your thoughts, to trust, and Matthew had mentioned about never letting go of God, and the gospel is even trusting that God doesn't let go of us. When we are weak, he is strong. Peyton alluded to that. Taking a leap of faith, you said, Matthew, wrestling, trusting in God's reckless love that is seen in and through Jesus, our Savior. That's reckless, that the only begotten Son of God would be obedient even unto death on a cross. That's reckless love for you and me. Well, I'm still here after 24 years ago, my first national youth gathering, but I can tell you that not all of my classmates, the youth gathering wasn't enough. I mean, it's a great moment, and I'm not saying God hasn't used it or won't use those memories, but the real present God is there, certainly at the youth gathering, but is certainly here with us and goes with you where you go. This last week, every week in the church, I mean, some of you maybe know this about me. There was a time I lived in Indianapolis. My wife and I lived here, and I worked at Eli Lilly, and I worked. I was paid very well. I don't really feel like I did a lot, and part of that contributed to my leaving and going to the seminary, and now I've been a pastor, and I can tell you it's been awful. Welcome to the pastoral ministry, Pastor Luke, 3 weeks in. It's awful. It is awful because there are awe-filled moments, a few. They're enough. It's awful because I'm a sinner, because the world is filled with sinners, and then here is the most insidious part. The church is filled with sinners. And you're my family. And it can hurt because we don't stop sinning against one another until we die or until Christ comes back. And yet we say, we live by faith that despite the fact that what I see and feel is hurt at times, that Christ is the real present Savior for us. Well, I was driving home on Thursday for lunch. I was only going to be home a minute. And I've realized in the time that I've stood in the pulpit that I can somehow be more emotionally intimate with 200 people than I can with two. I don't know, however that works. And I was driving home and I was listening to this song and tears just start pouring out. I needed this cathartic moment, this cleansing. And I want to share a bit of the song that I heard. It's a song that I think was sung at the National Youth Gathering in 2016. I wasn't there. It may have been sung this year, but I want to share part of it with you. It's called This Dust by Kip Fox, and this is the acoustic, unplugged it's the a cappella version. So here it is. Lord, have mercy on me. I am riddled with this world's disease of taking what I want and turning it into a need. I am flesh and blood, never good enough. You poured out your love to cover all this dust. And then there's not usually a pause here, but I'm going to unpack it. So, Lord, have mercy on me. I mean, this is the cry of people who have nothing, who come before God beggars. Every week, every day, that's what we are. I'm riddled with this world's disease. I'm a sinner, and the world is filled with sin. And Pastor Luke talked about this last week, of taking what I want and making it into a need. Because by nature, my wants and needs are totally screwed up. Hey, you did get a new truck you're driving this week, I noticed, from Ray Skillman. You probably like that even better. I'm messed up. I am flesh and blood, never good enough, because according to the flesh, I am dead. Sin is not rational. It goes the opposite way, away from God. And yet, you, God, poured out your love in and through Jesus to cover o'er this dust. And you'll hear this again on Ash Wednesday, but hear it every day, and we've confessed it today. From dust you have come, and to dust you shall return. From dust I have come, and to dust I shall return. But that's not the end of the story. Oh, what senseless love that you would come to join with us and drink this cursed cup, redeeming all that we've undone. Oh, what senseless love. As Matthew said, reckless love. That our real present God, and you see the story in the windows, you hear it read each week and preached and proclaimed, that our God, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that God came to us, and it's not that we can find Him, He finds us and holds on to us in our weakness, and that's not the end of the story. The one who gathered His disciples together in the upper room and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, take, drink, this is my blood." He died on the cross, and on the third day He rose, but He keeps coming to us in a way that faith that goes beyond sight, because He says, "Take and eat, this is my body, take and drink, this is my blood." We call this a doctrine of the real presence, the real present God who has poured out His flesh and blood for us. And the song goes on to say, we are flesh and blood. Not just me, we are, because we're together, a family, never good enough. You poured out your love to cover o'er this dust. We talked about sin, the past, and death, the future, the power of the devil. The power of the devil who wants to separate us constantly, eternally, from God and from one another, to separate us even from ourselves, because death is the separation of body and soul. And yet our real present God is here. The God who was, the God who is, the God who evermore shall be. And the song goes on to say, and mercy reigns on all our shame and washes all the stain away. And mercy reigns on all our shame and washes all the stain away. And then it points to the present and the future, maybe the past. Death is all around us, but we are not afraid. Do not be anxious. Written is the story. Empty is the grave. See, death is all around us and in us. And apart from Christ, we are dead. But the true story of the real present God, the one who was, who is, who evermore shall be, is that on the third day He rose. And because the true story is we have a real present Savior who is present now at the right hand of God the Father, one day He will return. And what is true for Him is true for you and me. Written is the story. Empty is the grave. Peyton, you said, so that instead of seeing all my mess ups and how far off the mark I am, I can start to look at my life and rejoice and give thanks in how far God's already brought me. And then I'm going to say that He's present with you now and where He will take not just Peyton, but all of us. Because the end of the story is that all the sad things come untrue because of Jesus, our real present Savior. Now we live by faith, but then we live by sight. Hebrews 11, verse 1, you heard it today. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. But one day, with Job, we will say, and see with our own eyes, that I know that my Savior lives. Written is the story, empty is the grave. Jesus' real story is our real story. The real truth, Christ is risen. And so your past, the guilt, the shame, the stain of sin is covered over in His blood. Your present, and Satan wants to separate you, but he can't because Christ has defeated him. And your future, hear it again. Don't be anxious. I'm preaching to myself. See, all the things that could separate us and give anxiety, change and decay, and all around I see. You know, from a pastoral perspective, you know, we just talked some changes this morning. Here we go again. Early service going to be 8:30. Oh, man, church falling apart. Changing things, changing stuff. We're going to do confirmation differently. It's not the same as it used to be. And there can be all kinds of things. And those, I mean, maybe those seem like a big deal. But you know who doesn't change? Jesus, our God, who has come for us, our real present God. So, Lord, have mercy. He has on all of us. So I thank You for telling the story. And keep telling it, because your God, the real present God, is there and will be at work in your life each step of the way until He returns again. Amen. And now may the peace that passes understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus, our Savior, our real present God. Amen.